Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. Today our topic is facing calamities. We face problems, difficulties, trials throughout our lives, but knowing how to respond and what kind of response will lead to reward is very important for every believer. When we think about the reward of patience or the reward of forbearance, it encourages us to adopt patience at the very first stroke of the calamity, which is the essence of patience. Before we move on to the main part of our session today, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence, benefit of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet, the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Send blessings upon me often. Your sending of blessings upon me is forgiveness for you." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. In this narration, we are clearly reminded that a means of attaining forgiveness from the court of Allah subhanahu ta'ala is sending or expressing a supplication of blessings in favor of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So make it part of your routine. We spend so much time, or we waste time rather, on things that do not benefit us in this world or in the hereafter. It's time for us to be more strict in our routine, to focus on how we are spending our time, to avoid wasting time. We should allocate some time, we should devote some time to sending blessings upon the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We often hear the statement, this world is a prison for the believer, and this is the case for believers in terms of the fact that they face calamities. But when they face calamities, if they respond in the right way, there is reward for them. Before we move on to this topic and I give you some examples of how one should respond when a trial is faced or when a sudden calamity befalls a person, what should be the response of the individual, I would like to share with you first a narration which expresses the advice of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam for a person, or in this case a woman, who was affected by a calamity. It is mentioned in Bukhari, and Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala, Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports, he says that marra an-nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi imra'atin tabki 'inda qabr. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he passed by a woman who was crying over a grave. In another narration, it's specified that it was her son, her child, who passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam passed by and then he advised her. فَقَالَ اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَاصْبِرِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam told her or advised her to fear Allah and to adopt patience. So he directly spoke to her and he said to her, fear Allah and adopt patience. قَالَتْ إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي وَلَمْ تَعْرِفُ. She responded to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam without knowing it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, away. So she expressed her aversion. She said, away from me, or away. You do not know of the calamity that has befallen me. And she said this without knowing it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, meaning she was in such an overwhelming state of grief that she was not aware of the fact that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam advising her. فَقِيلَ لَهَا إِنَّهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. she was told by someone that that was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. فَأَتَتْ بَابَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَلَمْ تَجِدْ عِنْدَهُ بَوَّابِينَ. When she realized that it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in this state of panic, she proceeded towards the prophetic court and she did not find anyone at the door, meaning there was no one guarding the door or at the door as you traditionally had in the courts of kings or other such people. فَقَالَتْ لَمْ أَعْرِفْكَ. She addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam apologetically, saying that she did not know that it was him. So she said, I did not know it was you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam responded by saying, and this is the response, or this is the definition of real patience. So listen carefully to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam responded to her by saying, فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ إِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. That patience is upon the first stroke of calamity. So the woman obviously was not doing that, so she was advised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In another narration of Muslim, so this narration was from Bukhari, but in the narration of Muslim, it is mentioned that she was crying due to the death of her son, child who had passed away. Obviously, in this hadith, it was mentioned that she was crying over a grave, but it's specified in another hadith of Muslim that the person that she was crying over, or the reason why she was crying, was her child had passed away, and obviously a mother was affected by the grief of the loss of her child, so she responded in the way she did. Alama Badruddin Aini, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, writes in his commentary, Umdatul Qari, that Alama Qurtubi has said that it's possible that the woman was wailing. Obviously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her crying over the grave. She must have been crying in a way that was not permissible, and this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised her to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt patience. Alama Tibi alayhi rahma, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqillah, to make patience easy for her. This advice was as a reminder. It was like saying that if you do not adopt patience, then you should fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should not be wailing or crying loudly so that you may attain reward. Holding on to patience when facing a severe calamity is the essence of patience. Here, a mother has lost her son. She is grief-stricken. And when we, those of us who have children, look at your children and reflect, if something happened to your son or your daughter, what would your response be? If you reflect for a few moments, you will feel something in your heart straight away. You will feel something in your throat. Emotion will just pour into your heart. This is the response of a parent when he or she thinks about something bad happening to a child. So for a mother to lose her child is something which is a severe calamity for her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam witnessed how this woman was grief-stricken and advised her, but she was so overwhelmed in her state of grief, she did not even realize that it was the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam advising her. When she realized she had made such a grave mistake and disrespected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam unintentionally, she made her way towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to clarify the situation and to apologize in his presence. A word was used in the hadith tradition, and it was the word sadma. In language, sadma can literally refer to a collision or a shock. And in terms of this situation, it's the effect of a calamity. So when a calamity happens, the result of that calamity is sadma, is that shock. And it's when the heart is affected to such an extent, it's something which shocks a person emotionally. So the effect of calamity is described as sadma. But sometimes it can be used synonymously, so it can be translated as calamity itself. So calamity, when it befalls an individual at the very first moment, when at this first stroke of the calamity, that's when patience should be expressed. That is when the reward shall be attained, or when the essence of patience is attained. And Allama Aini alayhi rahmah, he clarifies that reward is attained when the patience is sabr jameel, and we spoke about this in the past, meaning it's patience where there is no element of wailing, there is no element of displaying grief, overly displaying grief or losing control of oneself. That is sabr jameel, or another definition was given that just by looking at the person, you do not know that he is facing a calamity. So Allama Aini alayhi rahmah clarifies that the reward of patience is when it's sabr jameel, it's a beautiful patience, patience adopted in the right way, and the intention is a good, appropriate intention with it. In commentary of this hadith, the point is made that the woman, she did not recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to the intensity or the severity of her grief. Otherwise, everything recognized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: the pebbles, the stones, the trees, the mountains, the stars, the sun, the moon. They all know of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point being made here is that she was not completely aware of her surroundings or what is happening, and that's what grief can do to a person. When someone is overwhelmed by grief, they almost become semi-conscious. They almost lose control of their senses, and they're not in the right state of mind. And this is why it is clarified that although what she said was a blasphemous response, her response to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam incurs disbelief, kufr. But due to the fact that she was not in the right state of mind, because of her overwhelming grief, the ruling of disbelief is not applied to her. And when she was told, when she realized it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she expressed her remorse straight away and she apologized in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another point the fuqaha make in this respect is that when someone is dying in the final moments in this world, if a person in that state says something which apparently seems to be blasphemous, the ruling of kufr or the ruling of disbelief is not applied to that person, because that person is not really in control of his senses. So a dying person, if he does say something against Islam, then this does not count against him because of that sensitive and difficult situation he's in. When the soul is being taken from the body, or is about to be taken from the body, or that state of naza', of the withdrawal of the soul, it's so difficult upon an individual that he may say things or she may say things that are not intended. So when someone is dying, the response of the people around that person should not be read the kalima or declare your faith. Rather, they should be reading it themselves, La ilaha illallah, or reading it aloud together, and maybe the sound of the declaration of faith will reach when it reaches the ears of the dying person, it will somehow get through and remind them or bring them back to their senses to some degree, and they're able to proclaim their faith before they pass away, before they die. So this attitude of forcing them to read the kalima when they're in this difficult state, this is not the right way to encourage, or as we say, this is not the way of talqeen. The encouragement is that you do it yourself and you remind the dying person that if they can, they should express their faith in Islam. It is mentioned in Dalil al-Falihin that Allama Tibi alayhi rahmah has said that when that woman was told that it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was inviting her towards good, or encouraging her or advising her in terms of righteousness, she was obviously fearful, she was in a state of panic, and she proceeded towards the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One reason for this fear and panic was the fact that when someone disrespects a ruler or someone of authority, the consequences are very grave and severe. So she was fearful that she had said or responded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way. So she panicked, and in a state of fear, she rushed towards the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when she went there, when she arrived, she did not see anyone at the door. And that is actually mentioned in the hadith. The wording of the hadith was, فَلَمْ تَجِدْ عِنْدَهُ بَوَّابِينَ. She did not find any people at the door when she went to the Prophet ﷺ, meaning the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was not like a formal court of rulers where you have to go through so many people to reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where you're stopped at the door. You are not allowed entry. You need to wait. You cannot go in, and then a person is left waiting for a very long time, and then formalities take place, and then a message is sent, or usually that person is told to go away, or that person is looked at and not considered to be worthy of the time of the authoritative figure. This was not the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam could be approached by the Bedouin. The person passing on the street could come and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So that was a point that was highlighted by the scholars of hadith who comment on this particular narration. So when she actually arrived to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that fear did not remain, because there was no such formal boundary or formal obstacle in reaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this is a lesson for people today, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with some authority, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with some influence in society, the purpose of being in that position is that we serve creation, that we help other people. We should not become inaccessible. We should not become people who are hard to reach, especially those who are in a religious environment. They should be accessible, they should be available, willing to help people, and with the intention that they follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in doing so. Another reminder here is that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not respond to that woman, or the blasphemous, unintentional blasphemous remarks of that woman, in a way of retaliation. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely overlooked her response. He simply gave her advice. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam had every right to question her about her conduct and say to her, this is not the way you speak to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. She could have been punished for her remarks, but our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood the fact that she was grieving, and he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as was the blessed prophetic habit, he forgave anything personal to him. It was a personal matter between him and that woman who was grieving, and he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as on so many occasions in his blessed life, he forgave her and he overlooked her response, or overlooked the unintentional disrespect she expressed. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has reported about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is mentioned in Tirmizi that he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was not someone who was boisterous in the market. He sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, she actually said he would not retaliate in terms of, he would not return a bad deed with a bad deed. If someone was bad to him personally, he would not retaliate in the same way. He sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would forgive and pardon. This was the character of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the reflection for us is, so among the calamities that we face in life can be situations when we are disrespected in some way, or someone says something inappropriate or offensive to us. Our response to that should be that we, if it's personal, we should forgive, we should overlook, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, because in the end we have to realize we are not perfect people. The people that we live with are not perfect. If we look for perfection in people, we will not find it. If we look for perfection in people, we will only make life difficult for ourselves. We should look for good in people. We should overlook any evil that we see. We should hate the evil for what it is, but we should hope and pray for good in other people, and guidance for those who are not guided, and piety for those who are not following a path of righteousness. We should not be people who are always looking to retaliate. You did this to me, you wronged me, I will wrong you. This is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And basic things like this, simple things like this, can solve so many problems within our communities. But the problem is, many are not willing to become the greater individuals, or the people who adopt a greater trait of piety and forgive and overlook any personal grievances. Following on from this point, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam expressed exceptional forbearance. There were times when people would approach him or speak to him inappropriately, but our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, not only would he fulfill the need of that individual, he would instruct the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to not intervene. And one of the famous occasions or famous accounts mentioned in Nasa'i, where that Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the masjid, and he literally pulled on the shawl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, creating a mark on his blessed neck. This Bedouin was asking for both of his camels to be loaded with merchandise, to be loaded with something. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam not only told the Sahaba to not intervene, strictly told them not to intervene. Remember, this Bedouin is pulling on the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he is being apparently disrespectful, but our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not take any action against his disrespect in terms of punishing him. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam instructed for one camel to be loaded with grain and the other camel to be loaded with dates. This was the character of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So for us, the lesson, the conclusion is this: anything personal, adopt patience, be forgiving, adopt forbearance, and when a calamity befalls you, always remember, patience is upon the first stroke of the calamity. Don't complain here and there and then say that you are being patient. Be patient. When you first face the calamity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you immeasurably with His grace, insha'Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. May we become believers who are patient when we face calamities. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life.